Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. And to a refuah shlema, complete recovery for David Ben Fegi. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, there are two subjects that I'd like to speak about. The first involves America, the controversy of Phil Robertson and the Duck Dynasty. And the second involves Israel, the revelation that the U.S. has been spying on Israel. What are the implications for Jonathan Pollard, and what are the implications in terms of how Israeli leaders reacted? Those are the two subjects we want to discuss before we get into our questions. So let's start with Phil Robertson and the Duck Dynasty controversy. I didn't know that there was a program on A&E called Duck Dynasty because I almost never watch television. The programs on television are so terrible and so idiotic and so worthless that I almost never watch. There's nothing to watch. In my opinion, there's nothing really to watch. The only time I'm interested in something that's on television is if it affects the cause, if I feel something is going to affect the cause. So I had no idea that there was a program called Duck Dynasty. I didn't know who Phil Robertson is. I didn't even know that there's a channel called A&E because I never watch this stuff. But there is a program that's very popular called Duck Dynasty. In fact, it's the most popular program on cable television. There are 14 million viewers for that program. And by the way, that just shows you how much television has declined as a medium. 14 million viewers is the largest cable television program that there is right now. 14 million viewers. Do you realize that before the advent of the internet, in the 1960s and 1950s, 1960s, there were programs on television that had 100 million viewers, 120 million viewers, 130 million viewers. Now, 14 million viewers is a record-breaking number. That's how much television has declined. Just something that we should bear in mind. And I'm glad that television has declined because the owners of the television stations and the owners of the networks are evil. And so television deserves to decline. But anyway, there's this one program on called Duck Dynasty that has 14 million viewers. And Phil Robertson is the star of the show. So it's a program that's making a lot of money for the A&E channel. But Phil Robertson, the star of the show, did an interview with GQ magazine in which he said that homosexuality is a sin, and basically said that he agrees with the biblical view on homosexuality. And he compared homosexuality to bestiality and to various other things, to adultery and bestiality. And so as a result of that interview, A&E has decided to fire him because all of the homosexual fascist organizations, these sodomite, perverted fascist organizations, immediately started complaining and immediately started demanding that he be fired. And A&E immediately decided to fire him because they said that A&E is a champion for the GLBG, XYZ community, whatever they call themselves. We're champions for this community of perverts. And so, naturally, you know, if he dares to say something against the agenda of the radical sodomites, we're going to fire somebody who dares to express any view that's contrary to the politically correct agenda of the radical sodomites. Look at what we've come to in this country. The Bible is now forbidden. You are not allowed now to express what it says in the Bible about a subject like homosexuality, which is a terrible sin, a terrible transgression against God's laws. The Bible refers to homosexuality as an abomination. The maximum penalty for people who persist in spreading this evil behavior is death. That's how seriously the Bible regards this type of behavior. I don't know of anybody who, in history, I don't know if there was any time in history when anyone was actually executed. Probably not. But the Torah, when the Torah creates a penalty like that, even if in practical terms it's never actually applied, when the Torah creates a penalty, it is intended to show us just how serious and severe the sin really is. And so Phil Robertson was basically saying what the Bible says, that this is unnatural, that it's a sin. He didn't use the word abomination as the Bible does, but he was saying that this was his belief. As an evangelical Christian, this was his belief. And he was fired for it. Can you imagine this? Al Sharpton, a black Nazi, who is responsible for the Crown Heights pogrom, who incited black Nazi mobs to murder Yonkel Rosenbaum and to attack the Jewish community in Crown Heights for no reason at all for 4 days and four nights. Al Sharpton, who was responsible for inciting one of his demonstrators outside of Freddy's, which was a Jewish-owned store in Harlem, to go into that store and to shoot people and burn the store down and murder six employees in that store. After he called the owner of the store a white interloper who has no right to do business in Harlem just because he's white. Al Sharpton has a program every night, primetime, one-hour program on MSNBC. And everybody treats Al Sharpton like he's royalty. Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, all of them go to kiss that Nazi's ring and go to speak at his headquarters in Harlem. He has a big, fancy headquarters and raises millions of dollars from self-hating whites. All from self-hating whites. Black people don't give anything to these causes. They give nothing. They let all the sick, sucker whites and sick, self-hating Jews give money to finance them. The NAACP gets all of its money. The NAACP, the Urban League, all these groups, they get their money from whitey and from the self-hating Jews. Al Sharpton has a program on television, a primetime program. Is anybody going to fire him for all the things he said? Al Sharpton said that Jews are diamond dealers. Al Sharpton incited a pogrom against the Jewish people. Al Sharpton is responsible for the shedding of blood. Al Sharpton perpetrated the Tawana Holy hoax where a jury found beyond any doubt that Al Sharpton made this story up together with Tawana Brawley, that this white Greek American assistant district attorney, along with other white law enforcement people, raped Tawana Brawley, this ugly black Muslim girl. They raped her and they smeared feces all over her. Just, she made up the whole story. She smeared dog feces on herself and she went around and made up this story, and the jury found, in a civil case, the jury found that this was made up. So he made up the Tawana Brawley hoax. He incited pogroms and murder. He referred to all whites as crackers. He went to Louis Farrakhan's Million Man March, Louis Farrakhan, who says that Hitler was a great man and that all whites are going to be exterminated. And this Nazi beast has a program every night on MSNBC. And that's just one example. That's just one example of the haters. We have a vicious racist and anti-Semite as president of the United States. The president of the United States has expressed hatred for white people. We showed you in his own voice him expressing hatred for white people. Calling whites arrogant and cruel and all these other names that he referred to them as. Can you imagine if Phil Robertson or some white guy had a television show and referred to blacks as cruel, which they are, or arrogant, which most of them are? You think they would continue to have a television program? Barack Hussein Obama said it about whites, and he's president of the United States. He's won two elections in a row. He's been elected and reelected. But this guy, Phil Robertson, of Duck Dynasty, simply said that homosexuality is a sin and that it's against the laws of the Bible, and he gave his biblical view on this, and he was fired. All the gays and all these other groups who are sick. I mean, let's make it very clear here. Homosexuality is a mental illness, okay? It is a mental illness, and it is a terrible sin. And I know that it's become, you're never allowed to say that. What, we don't have a First Amendment anymore in this country? I'm going to say that. We have a First Amendment, and I'm going to say that. And as far as I'm concerned, parents, homosexual parents, so-called, who adopt children are child molesting. That is a form of child abuse. That's child abuse. When two sodomites adopt children, male, whether two female or two male sodomites, if they adopt children, that is child abuse. What a disgrace. They're allowed to get custody of children and poison the minds of children. Who knows what the hell they do to those poor kids? This is a disgusting, sick society that we live in now. And Phil Robertson, he didn't say what I'm saying. He didn't say 1% of what I'm saying. And he was fired? Even though he has a very profitable program with huge ratings. The ratings are in the stratosphere as far as cable television. 14 million nowadays is a huge rating for a television program, because nobody watches that stupid idiot box anymore. And I'm not, and by the way, television could be a wonderful medium. It's just that all the people that own the TV stations, all the companies that own the TV stations and own the networks are all evil. That's why it's a terrible medium. So all the homosexual fascists and all the politically correct fascists got after Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty, and he was thrown off. He was fired. And now I'm glad to see that there is a little bit of a backlash. People are demanding he be brought back. We did a video. Our latest English video is about this. By the way, I urge you to go on that video. I urge you, of course, as always, to favorite, comment, do whatever you can to spread the video on YouTube and on Facebook, naturally. But we just did our latest English video on this subject because we, of course, are immediately going to be in the mix in trying to fight against these corruptors of morals and corruptors of society. That's part of our mission as Jews. That's part of the mission of the Jewish people. It's supposed to be the mission of the Jewish people. I'm not talking about the self-hating, sick Jews of this generation, but the mission of the Jew, the true mission of the Jewish people, is to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests, and to preach against this evil. But I'm glad to see at least there's somewhat of a backlash. And I do believe that he's going to be back on the air with his program. If A&E doesn't want the program anymore, you'll have other networks that will gladly take that program, gladly, because it's a very profitable program. And it just shows there still is another America out there. There's another America that doesn't think it's okay for two daddies, quote unquote, to adopt little kids and engage in this child abuse of raising two little kids in a home with two parents, or two male homosexuals, or two female homosexuals, which is child abuse. Not everybody thinks that's okay. Not everybody wants to turn their back on God and the Bible and turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah. There are still millions of people out there that believe in the Bible, that believe in morals, that believe in decency. Let's never forget that. And so hopefully this incident will remind us of that. We've got to defeat these politically correct fascists. We've got to defeat these forces of evil, and they are evil. They are evil. They always talk about tolerance, tolerance. You know, the Simon Wiesenthal Center has the Museum of Tolerance. Remember, they spent $50 million. Look at these sick, self-hating Jews. All these Jewish billionaires and millionaires. They gave them $50 million to build a Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles. The Museum of Tolerance, where they support black Jew haters and Muslim Jew haters, and speak about the Holocaust against gays. I mean, they're just a left-wing, politically correct pile of you-know-what. Tolerance! 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 The people who scream tolerance are the most intolerant. And by the way, that was $50 million in the 1990s. So by today's standards, it would be $70 or $80 million. Plus, they spent tens of millions more on a Museum of Tolerance in Israel to brainwash the Israeli Jews with their crap. These people who speak about tolerance, this is the most Orwellian misuse of the word you could ever have. They are the most intolerant, crypto-fascist swine ever to walk on the face of the earth. And we in JTF are the force in the Jewish community among Jews that fight against these people and that fight for the truth. And I don't care if it's popular or unpopular, we're going to stand up and fight for the truth. Somebody has to do that. So let's hope, God willing, that the forces of truth will defeat the forces of evil, that this causes a big backlash, and let's hope that this also sets a good example for the Jews in Israel, not to put up with the sick behavior that they're trying to promote in Israel as well. God forbid. So that was our English language video for this week. And we also did a Hebrew video this week. In fact, for the Hebrew, before I get to the Hebrew issue, let me, because I think one of the questions was about that. Yes, in fact, it's a question from Maimonides, I believe. Maimonides writes in his question this week, Shalom Chaim, what should Israel do about the NSA spying on it, unquote. So I'm going to answer Maimonides' question now, because it's going to be part of the opening here. The U.S. has been spying on Israel for years. The U.S. has been snooping on the personal conversations of prime ministers and defense ministers and members of the Israeli military, spying on all of Israel's leaders, snooping on the conversations of Bibi Netanyahu, Ehud Olmert, Ehud Barak, and all of the other leaders of Israel. And it came out. Edward Snowden released this. And by the way, I'm so happy that Edward Snowden is doing this. Even though I don't like him personally because he went to Russia and a lot of the things about him I don't like. But our leaders are such traitors, are such treacherous filth, that it's wonderful to see exposed all the dirty garbage that they're doing. It's just wonderful to see this come out. So even though Edward Snowden himself is an evil, immoral person, his actions are actually beneficial because we're getting to see all the dirt and filth come out, and it's good that we see that. We should see that. We should see all the sneaky, nasty, evil things that these evil leaders do behind our backs. But as if we didn't know, the United States has been spying on Israel for years, listening to all the conversations of all of Israel's leaders. Now, there was a similar scandal like this involving European leaders. And remember that it came out that the United States was spying on Germany, France, and Britain and listening to their conversations? You remember that? You remember the reaction of the European leaders? You remember how angry they were? You remember how they angrily and publicly condemned the U.S. for doing that, angrily and publicly condemned the Obama administration? You remember that? They condemned the Bush administration as well, because the Bush administration was also involved in this. And you remember how Barack Hussein Obama called them up to apologize to them, promising that it would never happen again, and then he publicly apologized and promised it would never happen again? Something which these leaders in Europe demanded. They demanded public apologies. They demanded that a promise it would never happen again. And Barack Hussein Obama did exactly what they demanded. You remember all of that? Okay. That's when you have leaders reacting who have at least an ounce of sanity. And the leaders of Germany, France, and Britain are evil people also. But at least they have a little self-respect, a little sense of personal honor, that when somebody does this to them, they get up and start and complain about it and demand action. When the same thing happened, it was revealed this week to Israeli leaders. You know what Israeli leaders said to the Israeli media? Oh, we don't mind. This is no big deal. This is nothing. This is fine. This is no big deal that they're spying on us. This is what Bibi Netanyahu said to the people of Israel. I mean, the leaders of Germany, France, and Britain were furious, demanded apologies, demanded promises it wouldn't happen again, demanded action. Bibi said, oh, this is no big deal, that's fine. In other words, you could do anything to the Jews of Israel, to the leaders of Israel. They are such obedient slaves of Barack Hussein Obama, or whoever is in the White House. You could do anything you want to them. What an utter lack of self-respect. What an utter lack of national honor, of Jewish honor. What a disgrace for the Jewish people. What a chilul Hashem, what a desecration of God's name, that we have a pig like Bibi Netanyahu sitting in the prime minister's office in Israel, embarrassing and shaming the Jewish people every moment that he's there, with his cowardice and his ghetto mentality and his treasonous actions. And you know, most outrageous is what happened with Jonathan Pollard. Jonathan Pollard, was spying for Israel. And when I say spying, he passed over documents to Israel about Arab terrorists and Arab terrorist targets and Arab weapons of mass destruction that the United States was obligated to give Israel under agreements that were signed during the Reagan administration. There was a strategic alliance agreement signed between the United States and Israel. The United States was obligated to give Israel all of this information. Everything Pollard gave to Israel, passed over to Israel, the United States was supposed to be giving to Israel. It's because the United States was not fulfilling its part of the agreement. Israel was giving over information that it discovered. Whenever Israel discovered any information, according to the intelligence agreements between the two countries, Israel immediately, faithfully passed that information on to the United States. But when the United States was getting information, Caspar Weinberger, George Shultz, and all these anti-Semites were not, and the CIA anti-Semites, were not passing the information over to Israel as they were required to do, as they were required to do by written agreement. And so Pollard was merely passing over to Israel information which the United States government was obligated to give Israel. And it was good for America and the West that Israel got their hands on this information, because the information was about the common enemies of America and Israel, the Muslim terrorist regimes and the Muslim terrorist organizations. It is good for America when Israel is able to take action against these organizations, because these organizations and these countries hate America as much as they hate Israel. So what Jonathan Pollard did was good for America. He saved American lives. He was good for America. He's a hero to America and a hero for Israel. And he was given a sentence of life without parole in prison. Can you imagine this? The chutzpah. And they were saying, how can Israel dare spy on America? How can you do this? The United States was just caught red-handed spying on Israel. And Pipi Netanyahu doesn't even make an issue of it. He doesn't even say anything about it. They gave Jonathan Pollard life in prison for the same thing. Except Pollard was justified in doing what he did. They gave him life in prison. He's been in prison since 1985. He's been in prison for more than 28 years. More than 28 years he's sitting in prison, because he passed on to Israel information about Arab terrorism that the United States was obligated to give Israel anyway. Information that benefited Israel, getting this information benefited both America and Israel. And he's been sitting in prison over 28 years for doing this? But the United States, Barack Hussein Obama and George W. Bush, and George Wahhabi Bush, they spy on Israel for years, and Pipi doesn't even make an issue of it. Pipi should have said, I demand that Pollard be released immediately. How dare you imprison him for more than 28 years for doing what you have been doing to us all these years? You've been spying on us all these years, and you put him in prison for more than 28 years? That's what Pipi should have done immediately. And by the way, there are American spies in Israel. Israel doesn't touch them. A couple of times Israel caught them and just sent them back to the United States. Israel doesn't even touch them. There are American spies in Israel, which Israel does nothing about. Instead of arresting them and saying, hey, you want him to be freed, you're going to have to free Jonathan Pollard. And it's an outrage. It's an outrage that the same governments which put their nose up the behinds of the Arabs and the Iranians and all the enemies of the United States spend their time spying on Israel. The only reason Israel recruited Pollard, and they did recruit him, the only reason they recruited Pollard to do what he did is, again, because the United States was violating their agreements with Israel to give Israel information that Israel was entitled to receive. This was a golden opportunity, another golden opportunity to demand Pollard's release, to push very hard for Pollard to be released. And it was also a golden opportunity to again attack Barack Hussein Obama. Let me make something very clear. Anything that's bad for Obama, when something is bad for Obama, that means it's good for America and good for Israel and good for the world. Obama is a cancer. He is a cancer. The Obama presidency is a cancer. When we do things that hurt Obama's popularity, hurt his approval ratings, cause him scandals, cause him troubles, cause him problems, weaken him, that is good. It is good to weaken Obama. It is good to hurt Obama. It is good to do everything we can to damage Obama politically and in every other way as a leader. Though that is good. And Israel, when there's a situation like this, Israel should jump on this to do everything they can to damage Obama and damage his standing and cause another scandal for him and cause him more problems. When he has problems, that's good for us. He's an enemy. He's an enemy of America. He's an enemy of Israel. He's an enemy of all good people, Barack Hussein Obama. But Peepee, as usual, being such a pathetic, cowardly, wimpy, nothing. He's not even making a fuss over it. He's saying, oh, this is no big deal. This is nothing. Those were the headlines in the Israeli newspapers this weekend and on the Israeli websites. The Peepee, he didn't mind. He doesn't mind that they spied on his personal conversations and the personal conversations of all Israeli leaders. It's no big deal. Unlike all the other leaders of every other country, when they do this to any other country, the other countries are outraged. Not Israel. Israel's the one country you can do anything you want. Anything you want. And no reaction. They just lie down and say, come and run over me. That's just fine. If you're sick and tired of this evil that's taking place, both in America and in Israel, of the immorality and the evil and the breakdown of moral values, if you're tired of this, then you're in the right place. Because we're the one group that has exposed this and spoken about it in an uncompromising way all along. We're also the one group that offers hope for the eventual change that will take place, God willing, when we won't have this situation anymore. And that's why it's important that you help us. It's important when we put up those Hebrew and English videos, the two subjects I spoke about in this opening, Phil Robertson and Duck Dynasty in America and the U.S. spying on Israel and Jonathan Pollard and that whole situation in Israel. Those were our two latest Hebrew and English. That's our latest Hebrew video, our latest English video. Those are our two latest videos. When you see us put up Hebrew and English videos, it's important to help us. It's important to favorite and comment and like and share and link. It's important to do all of those things on YouTube and on Facebook. You're helping us spread the word. You're helping us get the truth to other people. Isn't that important? And it's important also to help us on our forums and on our Facebook pages. When you comment, when you open up interesting threads, that's like inviting other people to join with us. And it also, whatever you write on our forum goes on Google and all the other search engines. So that boosts us on the search engines. So we need people to open up good posts and good threads. Important also. And most of all, of course, last but not least, we need financial support. That's really our downfall. That is the answer, and it always has been. If only we had a multi-million dollar budget, you'd be reading about, when it comes to Jewish leaders, you'd be reading about Pipi Netanyahu, and you'd be reading about this leader and that, and you'd also be reading about Chaim Ben Pesach all the time and hearing about Chaim Ben Pesach, because we would be in the mix with the top leaders. We would become a major movement. And if that happened, it's only a matter of time before we would take power. But until then, every check, every money order, every cash donation, it makes a difference. It helps us. It helps us reach more people. It helps us reach more people with the truth. Because you know with us, we're going to do everything we can to bring the truth to people. That we're going to do everything we can to stand up for the truth, even when it's unpopular. So, we need your help. That means we have to thank our great JTFers who are helping us, who are sending checks and money orders and cash donations through the regular mail to our post office box. God bless you. God bless your families. What you're doing is very important. We need all the help we can get. Every dollar makes a difference. And God bless the people, of course, who also help us with their credit cards by going to the by going to the donate button on our English main page and on our Hebrew main page. We're in this together, and we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting. And, you know, we reach certain numbers of people. We have thousands of likes. In other words, thousands of people receive all of our mailings and all of our messages and everything that's written on our Facebook pages. Thousands of people automatically receive everything because we have thousands of likes on our Facebook pages and we have thousands of members on our forums. So we're reaching thousands of people with our message. Plus, our videos always reach new people. And you see us putting up at least 3 Hebrew and 3 English videos every week. So we're reaching new people. We're reaching new people, and we're reaching thousands of existing members right now. Is that important? I think it is. I think you would agree that it's important. It's important that we reach as many people as possible. Is it enough? Of course it's not. It's not going to be enough until we take power. It's not going to be enough. But at least we're fighting. We're doing the best we can to reach as many people as we can and to make as much of a difference as we can. The more people we reach, the better it is. The more people we wake up, the better it is. The more people we reach, the more people we wake up, the more hope it gives us for being able to make a positive difference and being able to defeat the forces of evil in America and in Israel. Okay, now let's get to our questions from our great JTFers, which of course we all love to do on this program. I love to read the questions, and I know that our great JTFers like to listen to the questions and comments that our members are making here. And we start out with Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, please expose the self-hating Jew Harvey Weinstein, who was responsible for the movie Mandela: Long Walk to Freedom." Unquote. Oh yes, Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein is the ultimate example of a self-hating Jew. This is a guy who started out his career doing benefit concerts and benefit shows for Amnesty International, the anti-Semitic organization Amnesty International that supports the Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists against Israel, that supports all the Nazi terrorists, supports all the people that are trying to destroy Israel. Amnesty International is always there saying that Israel is violating the rights of Muslim terrorists, violating their rights. They live in 4-star hotels. The prisons in Israel are like hotels. They have air conditioning, cable TV, carpeted rooms. They don't have cells, they have rooms, special meals. They have hotel-like conditions. They can study and take college courses. These are Muslim terrorist convicted murderers. And Amnesty International says that Israel isn't being nice enough to them. Harvey Weinstein raised millions and millions of dollars for Amnesty International. That's how he started, raising for this Nazi group of vicious Jew haters. And then he raised huge amounts of money, of course, for Bill and Hillary Clinton, naturally, for the Jew haters Bill and Hillary Clinton. And for the Muslim Jew hater Barack Hussein Obama. He's twice intermarried. What else is new? And all of his films and causes promote only evil, including this Mandela movie. All they promote is evil. That's Harvey Weinstein. Yamashmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And now we go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "You said regime change doesn't work in Muslim countries. Please discuss the possibility of regime change in Russia, China, North Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, and Venezuela." Unquote. Okay. Well, all of the regimes you're mentioning here are non-Muslim countries who are doing terrible things in the world. Russia, China, North Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, and Venezuela are all these are all countries that are promoting communism and helping the Muslim terrorists and helping to work against America and Israel. These are evil nations. Would regime change help in these countries? I don't know. It depends what new regime we would have, but certainly the Putin regime, the Vladimir Putin regime in Russia is doing terrible things. They are building the nuclear program for Muslim terrorist Iran. They're doing terrible things in the world. And so, if we had a new regime in Russia, maybe it would be better. I don't know. But there's a possibility, at least. Communist China, if that regime were changed and you had a free government and the Chinese people were freed, there's a possibility that Chinese policies would become better. North Korea, if North Korea would reunite with South Korea and become a democratic United Korea and would end its nuclear program, that would be a big plus for the rest of the world. Vietnam and Cuba and Venezuela now all have communist leaders in their countries. Again, they're doing terrible things. I think that the world would be a better place if the communist regimes there were overthrown. Regime change doesn't work in Muslim countries because the new regime you're going to have in a Muslim country is going to also be committed to the Islamic agenda of destroying non-Muslim infidels. But in non-Muslim countries, sometimes it can make a difference. It can make a positive difference. Thank you, Binyamin. And now we go to, let's see here. I have a new mouse here, and I'm having problems here with this mouse. It's driving me nuts. Okay, now we go to the great Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss the vile kurva Katy Perry, Yimach Shma V'Zichra. Did she have relations with Satan to get where she is? Who is worse, KP or Tila Nazi Tequila, Yimach Shma V'Zichra?" Unquote. All right, well, you're mentioning two very, very horrible people. I mean, Katy Perry, she was raised, by the way, in an evangelical, I think it was an evangelical Christian family, I'm pretty sure. Yes, she was raised in an evangelical Christian family, I think so. And now she promotes homosexual perversion. In her song, she promotes homosexual perversions, disgusting songs. She goes around raising money for UNICEF, an organization that helps the Muslim terrorists. UNICEF, by the way, gives huge amounts of money, goes to all of the so-called Arab refugee camps, the so-called Arab refugees from Israel. Those are the Arabs that claim that they were thrown out of Israel by the Zionists, you know, and they're sitting around collecting huge amounts of money from the whole world to sit on their behinds, their lazy behinds, and to promote terrorism, and day and night to promote terrorism and Nazi Jew hatred and anti-Americanism. UNICEF gives them money to do all of that. And Katy Perry raises money for UNICEF. As far as Tila Tequila is concerned, Yimach Shma V'Zichra, she's a lesbian who was engaged to another woman, engaged in quotes. She was going to marry another woman who died before they got married. And she promotes, of course, lesbianism and promiscuous sex and she was on a reality show. But just to show you what these people are really all about. Tila Tequila openly backs Adolf Hitler. She wears swastikas. On her Facebook page, she wore a swastika Nazi uniform and stood in front of a picture of the Auschwitz death camp, the Auschwitz murder camp, where millions of innocent people were burned and gassed. She stood in front of the death camp with a swastika and with a Nazi uniform. And she openly defends Hitler and supports Hitler and praises Hitler openly. Openly. The media, by the way, doesn't condemn her. And you know what Facebook did to her for standing, for wearing a Nazi uniform and standing in front of the Auschwitz concentration camp? Finally, Facebook banned her for 30 days. Only 30 days. Jews who defend Israel are sometimes taken off of, you know, if the Israeli government complained, some of them were taken off of Facebook. Completely, for no reason. Kahanish Jews were taken off of Facebook. Banned completely, forever. But she's banned for only 30 days for wearing a Nazi uniform. By the way, we have Facebook pages. Do you know how careful we are to make sure that we don't do anything that goes against the politically correct rules of Facebook? You know how careful we are? Because people have complained about our pages, but they haven't been taken off because we're so careful. We're so careful. And we watch what we say. You know, if we didn't have to watch what we say, we would have far more members. We'd get much more attention. We'd have far more members. But we have to be so careful because, you know, we have to be so careful. And this is why Facebook never hasn't taken us off or done anything against us, because we are so careful to make sure that we abide by all of their politically correct crypto-fascist rules. But a Nazi, they just took her off for 30 days. That's Facebook. Who is worse? I think Tila Tequila is worse, Yimach Shema V'Zichra, but they're both terrible. Both of them are absolutely evil, evil beasts. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And now we go to, let me see if I can get this mouse working right for a change. I'm getting used to this. I had a great mouse, and unfortunately it broke, and I hope I'll get a similar mouse soon. So I have to use this old mouse that I was using before, and I'm just getting used to it again. And now we go to the great Chicago Jew who writes, and I quote, "Do you consider Jews who call themselves Reform Jews Goyim?" Unquote. Goyim meaning Gentiles. By the way, Goyim means nations. Goy means nation, and Goyim means nations. So we refer to the Gentiles as the nations. That's how the Bible refers to them. Do I consider Reform Jews to be Gentiles? It depends. I mean, it depends. You know, Reform Jews, there are Reform Jews, people call themselves Reform Jews, who cut themselves off from the Jewish people. If they cut themselves off from the Jewish people, they can be, you know, they're no longer part of the Jewish people. They're no longer part of the Jewish people. The so-called Reform movement is an evil movement. It is an assimilationist movement that encourages intermarriage. They have lesbian rabbis. Every evil thing under the sun. They're anti-Israel. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible movement. But there are some Jews that are part of it because they don't know any better. So I guess it depends on the individuals in the movement. But the movement as a whole, the Reform movement as a whole, is not a Jewish movement. It is an evil movement. It's an anti-Semitic movement. It's an assimilationist movement that is destroying Jewish souls. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And the same thing is true, by the way, for the conservative movement. When I'm saying conservative, that doesn't mean political conservatives. We have movements that claim to be part of Judaism that call themselves Reform, conservative, Reconstructionist. They are all assimilationist traitors who are cults, and they are betraying what they are. They have no relationship to what Torah, authentic Torah Judaism stands for. None at all. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to the great Selhar, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, do you think that a synagogue with mixed audience and where women can step up to read the Torah can be kosher?" Unquote. No. No. A synagogue, a so-called synagogue, that goes against the halacha, that goes against Jewish law, is not kosher. No. The reason, when you say mixed audience, what Selhar is referring to is that there's no mechitza, there's no division between men and women. Men are supposed to sit on one side, women on the other side, and there's supposed to be a division between them. Why? Because in a synagogue, we go to pray. When you're praying to God, you don't want to be standing next to women. You know, you don't want a man standing next to women that are going to make him think other thoughts. He's supposed to be concentrating entirely on his prayers. If they're going to be women, all types of women standing next to him, he may be attracted to them. He may be thinking about that. His thoughts may come in his mind. We don't want that when someone is praying. And so there has to be a separation. There has to be a mechitza. There has to be a separation between the men and the women. The answer is no. Any so-called synagogue that does things that are in blatant violation of the halacha is not a real synagogue. Thank you, Tzelhar. And now we go to our great friend Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, "You mentioned that a group of godless multi-billionaire families is controlling the U.S. nowadays. Why did they have less power until 30 years ago?" Unquote. And the truth is, they had a lot of power even 30 years ago. They've had power for a long time. But they had less power than now. Now they have almost complete power, almost total power. And the reason it's getting worse and worse is because American morals are declining. They're succeeding in brainwashing people, and American morals are going down. 30 years ago, for instance, you could never have had a Barack Hussein Obama elected to the presidency. In fact, 10 years ago, it was unthinkable that Barack Hussein Obama would be elected to the presidency. But they have so brainwashed Americans, teaching us that the affirmative action racists and anti-Semites are wonderful people. Oh, yes, they should be the leaders. It's wonderful. It's so progressive. It's so enlightened. That they enabled Obama to get elected twice. They are destroying all moral values. They've taken over the educational institutions and the educational system completely. They've taken over the news media completely. They've controlled the media for decades. They've controlled Hollywood for decades, but they couldn't get away with what they're getting away with now, years ago, because years ago there were still enough morally minded Americans who stood up and fought against them. So we need to fight them. We need to create alternative media. We need to create an alternative to Hollywood. We need to create alternatives. That's what we need to do. And the only way to do that is if we have a mass movement of righteous people. And that's the way to fight these multi-billionaire families. There are multi-billionaire families who do control America and Israel and the whole Western world. And they control it by owning the big corporations or owning most of the big corporations. In other words, they own the key parts of the big corporations so that they're able to manipulate the corporations from behind the scenes. They own the news media. And therefore, they're able to control the flow of news, the flow of information. They own the Hollywood movie houses. They control what music young people are listening to. And so their influence is devastating. We've got to fight against them and defeat them. Otherwise, we're going to lose everything. Otherwise, we're going to lose all morals in the world. Lose all morals completely. Thank you, Da Vinci. And now we go to our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, I recently had to serve jury duty. Do you have any stories about your experience on jury duty? Thanks, unquote. No, Joe, I have never been on a jury, and I would never serve on a jury because I'm a convicted felon. Convicted felons don't serve on juries. So I get out of it. When they write to me, I tell them what my record is, and that's it. I never hear from them again. So fortunately, I don't have to go through that. I don't have to sit on a jury. Thank you, Joe. And by the way, for people wondering, the people who don't know any better and are wondering, what do you mean you're a convicted felon? I was convicted of bombing Soviet diplomatic targets when I was the national chairman of the Jewish Defense League in order to free our brothers and sisters in the Soviet Union, in order to save Soviet Jewry. And that was something I did to save Soviet Jewry. I'm very proud of it. And without that, I don't believe Soviet Jews would have been saved without those actions. And now let's go to our good friend, Hey Nelson, do you need AC? Guess what? You won't get one. Who writes, and I quote, what are your thoughts on these following Jews, quote unquote? Lawrence Oster. Lawrence Oster. Okay. He left the Jewish religion. He converted to other religions. This is a guy who left Judaism, converted to other religions, and worked with and supported numerous Jew haters. So obviously I can't stand him. We had people that wanted me to speak to him and contact him because they said that some of the things he said were good things, that he supported good things. But, you know, he's a complete traitor. He was always a complete traitor to the Jewish people. He was a Jewish anti-Semite who supported anti-Semites and who converted outside of the Jewish faith. Any Jew that adopts another religion is a traitor to the Jewish people and will have no place in the world to come. And now, hey, Nelson writes, and I quote, Nelson asked me about Ezra Levant. Ezra Levant is a Canadian who calls himself, I know he's a Canadian, I know he calls himself a libertarian, but I don't know enough about him. Other than that, I don't know enough about him to comment. I'm sorry. I just know he's a Canadian. He calls himself a conservative, he calls himself a libertarian, but aside from that, I don't know enough about him. So I can't really comment on Ezra Levant. And the next one is Michael Corin. Oh, this one I do know. This is another apostate trader who left Judaism. This is another apostate. There's another one who converted to other religions, left the Jewish faith, converted to other religions, and is just a self-hating Jew. Andrew Klavan. Andrew Klavan, again, another apostate trader who left Judaism and converted to other religions. Max Blumenthal, and then you asked me about Max Blumenthal. Max Blumenthal is the son of Sidney Blumenthal, who was one of the top Judenrat capos that worked as, he was a top aide to Bill and Hillary Clinton. And by the way, this is typical Max Blumenthal, Sidney Blumenthal, those are typical Clinton Jews. Those are the type of people you get who support Bill Clinton. Those are the type of Jews who support Bill Clinton. Max Blumenthal, Yemashmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav, works for the destruction of Israel. He's against Israel's very existence. He worked for Media Matters, which is the George Soros-funded Judenrat group that claims that the news media is too pro-Israel. They claim the media has a bias in favor of Israel. Can you imagine this? The Nazi news media are too pro-Israel. The New York Nazi Times, Media Matters has always complained the New York Nazi Times is too pro-Israel. The New York Nazi Times was against Israel's very creation, has done everything to undermine Israel's very existence, supported Hitler in the 1930s, and I mean, the New York, you could not get a more vicious newspaper, a Nazi newspaper like the New York Nazi Times, but according to Max Blumenthal and the Clinton Jews at Media Matters, because Media Matters is run by Clinton Jews, the New York Nazi Times is too pro-Israel. Can you believe this? And by the way, these are the types of Jews that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are surrounded by. That's what you get if, God forbid, Hillary Clinton becomes president. And let's see. Oh, and by the way, not only that, I'm just trying to think of all the things now. I'm just trying to run through my mind. Max Blumenthal also, by the way, wrote an anti-Semitic book condemning Israel and the Jewish people. And he worked for a Lebanese Arab Muslim Nazi newspaper. I don't remember the name of it, but he worked for a Lebanese Arab Muslim Nazi newspaper. Can you imagine this? For a Muslim Nazi newspaper. This self-hating Jew got a job working for this Muslim Nazi newspaper. They were so happy with his hatred toward Israel that they hired him. That's the Clinton Jews. That's Max Blumenthal and Sidney Blumenthal. That's the Clinton Jews. And the next person you asked me about is bro Nathaniel Kapner. Oh, that's a real sick, ugly, sick, cowardly worm who left the Jewish faith, of course, and who does videos blaming the Jewish people for everything, every bad thing under the sun he blames the Jews for, this filthy swine. I mean, just a swine, yimach shmo v'zichro. And the next one you asked me about is Gilad Atzmon. Boy, you're picking some real, real winners here, hey Nelson. Boy, you're really picking some cases here. Gilad Atzmon is an Israeli capo who is an outright Nazi. This is an Israeli-born Jew who is an outright Nazi. This is a guy who said, quote unquote, "I am a proud self-hating Jew," quote unquote. He calls himself a proud self-hating Jew. He calls himself an ex-Jew. He supports Israel's destruction, and he blames the Jews for all of the world's problems. Not only that, he says he's against what he calls the Jewish persecution of Hitler. That's what he says the Jews persecuted Hitler, and he's against what he calls the Jewish persecution of Hitler, and he defends Hitler. Can you believe this? And he, by the way, he's a jazz musician and he's highly respected in England. Oh, he's perfectly acceptable and perfect. He's not blacklisted and the other things that are done to good Jews and righteous Gentiles. None of that. He's perfectly acceptable defending Hitler and praising Hitler. That's Gilad Atzmon. And then you asked me about Al Franken, yimach shmo v'zichro. Al Franken, the U.S. Senator from Minnesota. What a self-hating animal. Supports Barack Hussein Obama, which, by the way, if you support Barack Hussein Obama and you support Bill and Hillary Clinton, you're supporting people that want Israel to commit national suicide and pressure Israel day and night to commit national suicide. That makes you a Jew hater. So he is a Jew hater. He's a Jew hater. He's an enemy of his own people. And finally, Alan Combs, you asked me about. Now, Combs, do people remember Hannity and Combs? There was a show, the Sean Hannity show on Fox used to be Hannity and Combs. Combs was his co-host. It was supposed to be Hannity from the right and Combs from the left. What a show that was. Sean Hannity, an Irish Catholic Gentile, would defend Israel. Every time Israel came up, Sean Hannity was defending Israel. And Alan Combs, the Jew, condemned Israel and was on the side of all of Israel's enemies. Now I ask you, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, can you believe such a sick... The Gentile on the show... Sean Hannity was always defending Israel, and Alan Combs, the Judenrat capo Jew, was always condemning Israel, defended Iran, defended the PLO, defended the Arab Nazis, anyone who's an enemy of Israel, he was always explaining how they were right and how Israel is the bad guy. Can you believe this? You know, hey Nelson, all these names you've given us, you know what it all shows? It all shows what a sick, evil world we live in. And all of these Jews you brought that you've mentioned, Alan Combs, he's a perfectly respectable person in the media today. He goes on Fox. He's still interviewed on Fox. He's perfectly respected. He goes on radio shows and other shows. I think he has a radio show. He's got all of these things. Which they would never give to Chaim Ben Pesach, but they give to Alan Combs, the Jew that hates his own people and wants to destroy his own people. How sick can it get? How sick can it get? And now Hey Nelson writes, and I quote, P.S., why did Idi Amin Dada hate Israel so much? Idi Amin Dada, the late dictator of Uganda, hated Israel because he was jealous. Because he looked at the Ugandan people and he looked at the Jewish people and he was jealous. You blame him? Anyway, now of course I do blame him. I mean, if someone is righteous, if someone from Uganda was a righteous person, they would say, look, we should look at the Jews and look at other Western people and see how they, see what is it that enables them to advance when our people never advance. That's what a good person would, not to be jealous and want to tear down other people, but to say, look, these people are succeeding. I want to see how they're doing it. I want my people to do this. That would be the righteous position to take. But evil people are only filled with jealousy. And that's why they never get anywhere. Thank you, Hey Nelson. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, please discuss the 5,000 member ASA, American Studies Association, boycott of Israeli academic institutions and the ramifications, unquote. There are no ramifications. Israeli academic institutions are self-hating, are just as anti-Semitic as this group. The Tel Aviv University, Hebrew University, oh, they're so left-wing, they're so self-hating. Are there exceptions? Like in Ariel, we have a university there. Here and there, there are some exceptions. But generally speaking, there are no ramifications. Big deal. Only the self-hating Jews in Israel are so worried about this. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, they're boycotting us. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, yoy. Hen am levadad yishkon uvagoyim lo yitchashav. Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. When that happens, when the evil people boycott Israel, that's a blessing for the Jewish people. It's not bad, it's a blessing. Thank you, EB22. And now we go to our good friend Yotin, who writes, and I quote, after the Holocaust, there were trials known as the Nuremberg trials for all the Nazi criminals. Why no such trial after the fall of the USSR, unquote. Great question. Very, very good question, and the answer is because the people that are running Russia today and the other former Soviet republics as well are the same people who are running the Soviet Union. They're not going to try themselves. The same people who ran the Soviet news media run the Russian media. The same people who were in the Soviet Politburo are now running Russia today, are now running the post-Soviet Russia. Vladimir Putin was the KGB agent. Was always in the KGB. He is from the KGB, which was the Soviet Gestapo, and he's the new leader. He's the leader of the Soviet Union. So you have the same Soviet leaders. They're now running Russia. They're running Russia, or their children are running Russia. Same situations. Of course, they're not going to try themselves. Thank you, Yotin. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, who is the voice of reason, common sense, and logic. Dr. Dan writes, and I quote, your thoughts on James Earl Ray. James Earl Ray, of course, is the assassin of Martin Luther King. I don't know. I don't know much about exactly what his motivation was or what, obviously he wanted to kill Martin Luther King, but I don't know that much about his background. I honestly don't know much about him. I mean, obviously, I remember when it happened, but I don't know much about his background. And Dr. Dan writes, and I quote, what it be like for when Hughes was a kid when MLK be shot, unquote. I remember it well when he was shot. I was in school. This was in 1968, April 1968. I was in school, and they announced that Martin Luther King had been assassinated. And they announced that we were all going home early. We were all in the middle, early during the day, we were sent home early because there were riots. in the streets. There weren't that many there weren't as many riots in New York, but there were some major riots around the country when Martin Luther King was shot. I remember it well. I remember, you know, I actually remember it even though I was a little kid. I was 1968. I was 11 years old, but you know, I still remember it as though it was yesterday. Believe it or not. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to the great Kalman ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, what is the source for your prediction that, quote, in the end, the good guys are going to win, unquote? Thank you. Okay. Kalman is asking me about something that I always say. I say, in the end, the good guys are going to win. I always say that. And Kalman wants to know, what is my source for it, my Jewish source? Okay. Let me see. Do I have a book? I have a shelf here with books from the Bible sitting here. So let me just pull out, let's see, should I take Isaiah, Jeremiah? Which one should I take? I'm going to take Isaiah. Let's do Isaiah. Yeshayahu in Hebrew. Yeshayahu Hanavi, which is Isaiah the prophet. And let's go to, let's go to chapter 1. Here's chapter 1 of Isaiah, verse 24. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purge away thy dross as with lye, and will take away all thy alloy. Okay, so what Hashem is saying here, what God is saying here to the Jewish people is, I'm going to take away your dross and I'm going to shine you. I'm going to make you nice and shiny again, and I'm going to turn on my enemies. Now, this is after he was saying all the punishment he's going to give to Israel. But after Israel has been punished and only a remnant survived and only a remnant returns and so on, they're punished, then he turns on the enemies of the Jews and turns once again toward Israel. And then it continues, verse 26. This is chapter 1, verse 26 of Yeshayahu, of Isaiah. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city, unquote. By the way, when it says restore your judges, that's the Sanhedrin. In other words, the judges that Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, and the great leaders of the Jewish people appointed, we're going to get judges of that caliber once again. Really righteous, magnificent, brilliant Torah scholars. Those are going to be our judges again. That's what Hashem is promising. And then it goes on, verse 27. Zion shall be redeemed with justice, and they that return of her with righteousness, unquote. In other words, the Jews that return to Israel now, that have returned to Israel, they're going to be redeemed with righteousness and justice. Great things are coming for them. But the destruction of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed, but not for the evil. The evil are still going to be destroyed and consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the gardens which they have desired. Gardens meaning they had gardens where they would do sacrifices to the idols. And shall be confounded for the gardens that they have chosen. In other words, the places where they were doing idol worship. For you shall be like a garden whose leaf has faded, and as a garden that has no water. Okay, and then verse 31. I'm skipping a little bit over here. Again, it's saying, and the strong shall be as a tow, and his work as a spark, and they shall burn together, and none shall quench them. In other words, nothing is going to save them in the end. Now let's see. Now let's go to chapter 2. That was the end of chapter 1 in Isaiah. Now let's go to chapter 2, which is one of the most beautiful things ever written anywhere. Isaiah is such a beautiful, people should read Isaiah and study Isaiah, such beauty. It's the word of God through Isaiah the prophet, and it's just unbelievably beautiful. Here's chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the end of days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow onto it, unquote. What does that mean? In other words, the mountains symbolize nations. So Israel, God's nation Israel, shall be exalted, and all nations shall flow onto it. And then it goes on and says, and many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he shall teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations, and shall decide for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And I could go on and on, but I think you get the basic point. The point is, and by the way, there are other places where it says the lion shall lie with the lamb, and so on and so forth. In the end, the evil are going to be consumed and destroyed. One way or another, God's going to destroy them. And the righteous will go on, and it makes it very clear, the righteous will live forever. Righteous Jews and righteous Gentiles, they will forever be rewarded and blessed by God. The good guys are going to win in the end. I just gave you a little piece of it from Isaiah, but you can find the same theme. Different wording, different phraseology, because you have different prophets expressing it in different ways. But you see it in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, in every single prophet, the same theme. That after all the bad things and after all the punishment and the exile, when the Jews do return to the land of Israel, it's going to lead to great things in the end. So we are in the beginning of a period where we're eventually going to get that great reward, that eternal reward. That's the promise that we get from all of the prophets. It's the theme of every prophet. What I read to you from Isaiah is repeated in every prophet, from all the prophets. All the prophets repeat the same theme. Thank you, Kalman. And now we go to Jim Draper, who is new to the forum. Welcome to our forum, Jim. It's good to see you here. Jim writes, and I quote, "Is there a Jewish leader with a Kahana spirit for the state of Israel?" Unquote. Jim, we are those leaders. We and our movement, we are the leaders with the Kahana spirit for the state of Israel. And if we, again, Jim, you put me in the Knesset. You give me one seat in the Knesset. You stick me in that Knesset, and you'll see Jewish history change. You stick me in the Knesset, just watch what happens. Just watch what happens. How enormous the changes will be. It'll be the beginning of quite a change. I'm not saying that it's going to be enough to lead to the final redemption, but it'll be a big move in the right direction and a big move toward us getting to becoming a mass movement and doing all types of magnificent things. If I could just get into the Knesset, if I could get into Israel, and then I could get into the Knesset, Knesset meaning the Israeli parliament. Then you're going to see the Kahana spirit revived. Thank you, Jim. And now we go to Jiu-Jitsu, who writes, "Is Bernard Madoff still a Jew? Can he be excommunicated?" Bernard Madoff, if he is still a Jew, I don't know. He may have cut himself off. He may be what we call karet, because he's very evil. And, what he did, of course, is something that the Torah does not tolerate. So he may have cut himself off. He may not be a Jew anymore. As far as him being excommunicated, he may have excommunicated himself because of his evil behavior. There are two ways you can look at evil people. And if you're talking about evil, self-hating Jews, one way is by saying they're self-hating Jews, and because they're still Jews, they're going to be punished ever more severely because they should have known better, because there's so many laws in Judaism against this. That's one way of looking at it. And some of the rabbis say that evil, self-hating Jews get maximum punishment because of the fact that they were part of the Jewish people and did this. The other way of looking at it is, well, they're not Jews at all anymore. They're not even Jews anymore because they're karet, they're cut off. They were Jews, but they're cut off from their people. So you can look at it either way. There are views, there are opinions in this direction and in that direction. There are views in both directions. Either way, any way you look at it, Bernard Madoff is in a lot of trouble with God. And now we go to the Great Maimonides. We've already answered the Great Maimonides question about the NSA. And so I just want to say again that I very much enjoyed doing the program this week, as I do every week. Until next week, Shalom.